Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food.
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever. I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello. Welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And as Sammy says, we're back.
Indeed.
I'm wearing my Diet Starts Tomorrow t-shirt. I'm very excited. Sammy and I are merched out.
What are you wearing?
Who are you wearing, Sammy?
I'm wearing Shop Betches. Actually, it's like Shop Betches, like a sweatshirt by Butter. It is so freaking comfortable. It has a cute little smiley face on it, on the little pocket area. It's a hoodie, gray, washed out. And then on the back it says, what day is it? With like a little wave. Because that's how I feel.
I want that. I'm excited for our through thick and thin shirts to arrive.
Yes, me too. And just generally, you know, winter and the comfort of wearing whatever I want.
I'm wearing also my hair very curly today because I'm finally getting keratin this weekend. So I'm just
embracing
the curl.
That's good.
How are you feeling today, Saman?
You know, despairing.
I know. I feel like fully depressed.
I don't feel depressed, but I feel just like a little bleak. So much to talk about. Where to begin?
Also, but like
RBG passed away. Thank you for everyone who reached out to me.
Yeah, RBG. It's been like kind of a fucking like disappointing to sad, bleak week. Like RBG, everything that happened yesterday with Brianna, like AKA nothing happened.
Yeah.
It just feels like.
And then last night, the president said that he's not sure about the peaceful transfer of power, which is like,
He's like, we'll see.
Right. Yeah. That's
the most ridiculous.
That's like a very big threat. Because like, by not saying yes, that's a threat.
And I was reading about also like all of the like Trump's potential choices to replace RBG. And then
about the handmaid?
Handmaid. Yeah, Amy, her name is.
Amy, handmaid, Amy.
Oh my God. Like
Barrett.
I couldn't sleep. I was just turning.
I also woke up in the middle of the night. I went out into the living room, smoked some weed and watched South Park. And then I was like scrolling through Twitter and then I came back in bed.
Well, I'm really looking forward to South Park's pandemic episode. Do you know when that comes out?
I don't know. But last night my mom was like, you know, Sam, I really associate you with South Park. She's like, if I had to list your interests, I would put South Park on it.
You know, I used to associate you with South Park, but it hasn't been... It hasn't been part of your brand recently.
No, I know it hasn't. Yeah, you're right. But I still do love it. Like it's still a go-to of mine. Like last night, you know, it's comforting just to hear those annoying little cartoons. So comforting.
It's sometimes just like, I like South Park because it is both so ridiculous, but also relevant. You know what I mean? Like it makes you feel like it's an escape, but also then it's not.
Right. It's my favorite thing about it is that like sometimes like the cartoon will just be so on point.
Yeah.
About what they're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Oh, Sean says that the hour-long special is September 30th. That's even sooner than I thought.
Oh, also new season of Fargo is starting, which I fucking love that show.
That's exciting.
Have you ever watched it?
No. Maybe.
You must watch seasons 1 and 2 of Fargo on FX. Season 3, I could do without, but season 4 is coming out and it's starring Chris Rock, Like, I hope really? It's good. Yeah. Okay. That's Fargo, the movie, obviously top movie of all time. Fargo show. I kind of really love season two more than season one because it's just like, so it's just really good. I really suggest you watch it if you need like a full escape from the world.
I do. Yeah. I do. I need a full escape. I've been like fully dissociated just since RBG died. Like I felt myself go into like a different place. And yeah. that place is obsessing over my wedding photos and my body in it. But
which is what we wanted to really talk
which
about.
Which is what today. We want to talk about. But actually, okay, now that you're talking about Fargo, I'm pretty sure Eileen loved Fargo. And used
Season
to talk about it a lot.
Two is so good. So it has Kristen Dunst and Jesse Plemons. And
they date?
They're married.
What?
Yeah, they met on that show.
I don't see that.
Yeah, they're like really cute.
I'll have to Google.
So should we talk about what we're talking about today?
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're avoiding it. Okay.
We're avoiding
it. We want to talk about bodies and pictures, I guess, is the whole
body. How we're it's really relevant to how we're feeling today. And we both kind of landed in the same discussion, kind of funnily. And I did something this week that I'm really nervous to share with everyone.
It's okay.
No, I'm not nervous.
Yeah, we did like, kind of land in the same place, but in a different
separately.
Okay. So
you go first.
Where do we begin? I have notes.
I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so I know you're going to go real, real deep in it. Okay, so basically what I did the other day was, drum roll please, is that I decided to weigh myself for the first time since like March, which when I text you to that, you're like, my stomach just turned upside down.
Yeah. The idea of doing that right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Something came over me and I can explain the context of what came over me, which was like, I just went into this like state of paranoia where I thought like everyone was staring at me because I thought I gained weight. It was like a state of just like, oh my God, they're all looking at me. Like I probably,
when did this happen? When did this begin?
45 pounds. I get it in waves, but this time it was extra really, really overwhelming over the weekend.
I'm wondering when the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to suggest a hypothesis for why, partially why we landed in the same place.
Okay.
But keep going. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I was feeling like I was wearing a really baggy sweater and I was just like, I don't know. Like I'm confused about what I look like. I'm just confused. Like I feel disassociated to what I actually look like. And I haven't weighed myself since March, since I've been doing intuitive eating or since I at first was just like sort of eating whatever, like it was just like aggressively anti-diet. And so I was binging and then I decided to go on the intuitive. I haven't weighed myself since any of that, the entire quarantine, you know? And I then like in the middle of the night, I was just like looking at photos of myself before I went on the space food diet for all the OG DSTers, you know? and I was just like, do I look like that? Like I was like comparing my face. I was like I was going down a really deep negative hole and I just, you know, put myself as a lullaby to sleep to that. And then the next morning I was like, I need to just do it just to like, not that it really matters, but I just need to, I was like, I'm going to prepare for anything like mentally. And I like went on my scale. And the funny thing is that it was low battery. It didn't work. So then I was like, oh my God, like maybe this is a sign. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to find a battery. So then I found a battery and then I put it in and then I weighed myself. So I was like, oh, not like, I was like kind of surprised. I was like, this is fine. I wasn't like, my reaction was so positive. I was like, kind of like hopped off the scale, not because it was lower. I gained weight, but I wasn't like, I was like severely off my like prediction. You know what I mean? Like completely off, like 15 to 20 pounds off. And I was just confused. Like, where is this coming from? I was like, how is this possible? I just came off a weekend or like 3 days ago. I felt like the worst. Like I felt, you know, and then it just doesn't really matter is what I kind of came down to. But then I talked to Elise about it and she's like, I get why you had to do it. But do you see why like you need to look inward for validation, not this external number. I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to do it one more month from now. Like, I'm going to have to do it again. She's like, well, just see how this month goes and see how you, if you can look, see how you can like trust, continue to trust yourself. And I thought that this was a good kind of validation in my own, in myself. You know what I mean?
But do you think that if you had been like right about what it was, do you, like, what do you think you would have felt like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would have felt like, okay, that makes sense. And
I guess, yeah,
maybe I would have started dieting. No, I don't know. I'm just that's a joke.
No, but the fact that you can, the fact that you say that is like, I think not obviously a bad thing, but I think it like shows what a process this is.
Oh yeah. This is a fucking process. It's not, it's like a process that requires a lot of care. Like you need to be really actively understanding your feelings and your approach and why you're doing the things you're doing. And yeah, I don't know what I would have done, but at the same time, it's like the fact that I wasn't that is shows that the process works.
I mean, what does works mean?
What I mean by works is that your body will settle where it like on its own. Like I was just thinking when I still weighed more than I did in March, right? I went through, oh my God. Then after that, I went through all of my like old notes, all of my habit tracking, aka controlling myself. Yeah. And I was just going through and I was like, holy shit, the amount of effort I put in just to lose 5 pounds. Like it was like lose 2 pounds this month, like a psycho. And I just-
But you're not a psycho. Like that's like, there's a reason you- That no, every month has of our lives has been that.
No, but what I mean is like when I was in it, I didn't feel like a crazy, like really feel crazed. Not crazy. I'm not like saying that I'm a crazy person. I'm just like, I was crazed and obsessive. And then now like looking back on it, thinking about how much effort, how much of my time was put into just to lose 5 pounds, thinking that like, oh, I just let myself not only, I wasn't just like eating what my body needed. I've been eating a lot more than that time. You know, I was eating so controlled, so little then, and I've been eating a lot more and that's all I gained. You know what I mean? And it like, kind of, that's what I mean by it works is that like, once you're kind of feeding yourself what your body needs, I feel like the pressure, like I've been saying, the pressure valve is released.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there and I've even made a few purchases from there and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I kind of feel like all those times I thought I was dieting and like eating a lot less, what would happen is that like most of my headspace was consumed with eating a lot less, but I don't know if I was actually eating a lot less because of the times where I would like binge and go crazy and then try to like shut it out of my brain by being like, diet starts tomorrow. So yeah. It's like, yes, my mind was consumed like 80% of the time or 90% of the time with obsessive thoughts about eating less, but I don't actually know if I was eating less.
You're right. That's, I'm on par with you. Like, I don't think I was eating less. I meant like I was eating more like controlled diet, and then like every day needed to be the same. And like,
yeah, no variety.
There was no, and number of calories, and there was no concern for what I needed. It was more like based on like what my, you know, fucking BMR is and like my calorie deficit.
Also our rule that snacks need to be 100 calories that we absorbed, that we discussed like a few weeks ago. Like that's just a random rule. Like that we tell
100 okay, calorie packs,
podcast listeners, remember? Podcast listeners, tell us, DM us if you have think that you have a food rule in your head that snacks need to be 100 calories.
Yeah, like one, it's like a range, like 100 to 200.
One to 200, depending on like the size of your lunch.
Yeah. And then when you get to range like three, you're like borderlining meal.
Like, right. You're borderlining meal. And then you're like, oh, maybe crazy. I should restrict for dinner.
Which is crazy, crazy. Like the rules, like how many calories you can have in a meal, and every meal needs to be the same. And
well, that's
like
what the app trackers say.
Yeah, right, lunch. Right, right.
And it adjusts depending, just like I said, like it adjusts depending on like what you have for the meat, like for your previous meals. Also, like if you think of even like the color coding of that, like I got so obsessive about having like green days, meaning like days I was always under my...
Oh, yeah. The weight, also on Weight Watchers, you get like a dot if you're like on track. And that's like, oh, Lisa, Well Necessity was talking about like streak mentality.
How oh, that's I like, love that post. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's so true. Like that's in everything. Like Peloton has streaks and like Snapchat has streaks, but different types. Yeah. But like that streak is like a marketing thing on Snapchat because they want you to keep using it. You know what I mean? It's sort of the exact same thing.
Right. Well, if you watch like The Social Dilemma, like all of these things, they're industries, they're profit based. Uh-huh. They want you to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. They don't give a fuck about the effect on your mental health. Like no diet company really cares about your mental health. Like they don't,
I know.
It's just taken for granted that like diet culture is normal. That's the right way. And therefore like, we're a helpful product to get you to where you are. But actually, right. It just breeds obsession.
I know I have body dysmorphia. I've heard it. The first time I ever heard about it was in camp. I was maybe like in middle eighth grade or ninth grade. And this girl, I remember, who had eating issues, I remember she did, told me like, Aileen, you have body dysmorphia. And I remember early in this podcast, I took it as a compliment because at the time I had no idea, you know, like what that like well, actually, I took
I think
it as a compliment.
We used to think that it just meant skinny people thinking they're fat, which I did for a long time think that that was the only thing it meant, but it doesn't only mean
it's
that.
Any rate. Yeah. It doesn't really mean that.
So yes, I see why under that definition and wanting to only be thin, that would seem like a compliment.
Yeah, no, in camp, I remember this like one summer where I like just ate salads and like went to canteen and I got my like 100 gram bar. And then at the end of the summer, I was congratulated for losing weight. Like, and that's like, you know,
that's
and
a
the boys
memory.
Liked me that summer. Like that, you know, that all of that together was really fucking destructive.
But I guess, okay, you know what I question when people... And I've had a lot of people say this to me, like, I was so much less happy when I was restricting and like I was thinner and I was like doing crazy things. But I also like, but then they'll say like a slew of things, like I was congratulated and like a boy liked me and like all this stuff. So I'm like, were you happier? And even my mom, oh God, my mom living with us, I like fully, understand her level of immersion in diet culture and it's like wild. And she's trying to like get out of it too. So it's like kind of nice. But, but she says, she's like, yeah, I was happier when I'm a lower size. Like, and I kind of like feel like, yeah, I was happier about that, but I was also more restrictive. So I'm like, happier?
Happy is really the variable here. What does that mean to everybody? Like what is happy? You were happier. Is that because like you were validated by people? Like, do you know
maybe.
What I mean?
The reward of being thin is getting compliments and looking at yourself in photos where you're like, ooh, I look thin.
Yeah. That's and like, ooh, this outfit looks good on me because I look like the model.
Yes. And yes, because I look like the model and this lower size fits me. Like I got to a lower size, even if you were just like buttoning it, you know, like barely getting it. Oh, at least it's a lower size.
And then it's like, and then it's kind of clouded also on top of that with this whole, like, I worked so hard to get here, you know, like,
like it's a reward.
Yeah. It's a reward. Right.
It shows you did something, you accomplished something.
But I have to say, like, that type, I've done that quote unquote hard work. And like this work, this the opposite side of the whole side of it, like getting out of the diet culture is really, really, really hard work. I don't know. I might be harder because there's no end goal. Like you don't have a goal weight. You don't have like, there's no real way to fail. So it's like, it's almost way harder. Like it forces you to practice this like a different type of mental toughness, and the toughness isn't like being like strong. The toughness is like, can you have compassion for yourself, which is like completely different. And like that is really, really hard to do when you're most of your life, the majority of it compared to the amount of time you're doing this, is geared towards like, oh, you can survive without 200 less, 300 less calories, 500 less a week, you know? That's the kind of toughness you have to, and then doing the extreme workouts and like all of that. I find this to be harder.
I actually don't. Now that I like get it and like I get what the ups and downs of it are, I actually find it less difficult and more rewarding. And the reason, and you know, I've been struggling with stuff and we can get to that next.
Yeah.
But I think that the reward is that it's like a different type of reward and it's a different type of struggle. The struggle is like in retraining yourself and resisting something that like you've been doing your whole life. The reward though, it's the subtle satisfaction and like consistent contentment that you get from like living by your values and like being aligned with like your true self almost. So it's not like you're going to get that high of looking in the mirror and it's like, I look hot, but you're going to get like a general sense of contentment. And like, I guess it's the absence of that obsessive feeling of control.
Right. But what I mean is that like, that's exactly it, is that like, that is so subtle and not really tangible. And like, and it's not very objective, you know?
And other people like, don't get to, you can't show it off to anyone.
You can't show it. It's somewhat hard to verbalize. You sound a little bit like abstract when you try to verbalize it with somebody who's not really in it.
Well, so I think that's what I mean, it's hard.
It's hard because, again, like you're saying, it's resisting something that you've done for so fucking long, resisting something that is not mainstream. That to me is harder to do.
Well, because, okay, people, first of all, Enneagram 3s like us need the outside validation to thrive. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for us. And this is part of the process of like why we're not sure. Well, maybe I'll go on a diet, you know, why we are not sure, because like, because we're like, oh, it's so much easier to just get that validation from other people and know, and like that clear objective thing that you can like reward yourself and transitioning to something that other people can't see, like in a photo or like on the outside, is a really hard thing to feel confident in at first, that it's like enough, because like we're not used to being like enough. And I think the transitional period is really difficult, but I think that when you get to the place, when you're there, there's a certain, you know how some people just project like a certain confidence and like a certain at ease with themselves that they can then project onto others, where it's just like, you're good, I'm good. Like, I think that's the reward you get. And then you get more fulfilling relationships and you get more like, you know, meaningful work and you are a better parent. And like, I think that's what you get from it. And like,
totally,
you can't show that off, but other people can sense it.
Feel it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's also definitely much harder to go against the tide, especially as us threes. I forgot what I'm a wing two.
You're a wing two. Wing four.
To go against the tide, that's a lot harder. And I think
also you have social media that you're fighting. You're fighting the daily chemical validation from social media.
Right. And what I was just saying before was that, like, you have to deal with this, like, existential question of, like, does it really matter what you look like or what weight you are? Like, that itself is, like, a hard thing to kind of come to often, when it was so much easier just like, oh, let me just go with what everybody else is doing. Let me just lose some weight and be this number. So I think that's what I mean is, like, it's emotionally harder, and like it's much more challenging for your brain, like to exercise like individual thought like that. I mean, in general, that like above just dieting, like that in itself is harder to do. When you're out of it though, it like you're saying it's free, it's freedom. It's like food freedom. It's body, body.
You can't buy image freedom. You can't buy freedom. You can't photograph freedom. You can't like share freedom with someone. It's something that only you can get for yourself. But also it's like I think diet culture positions like dieting as like, that's the long-term gratitude. Like short-term is eating the cake. You're not good if you don't put off if you don't delay. So but actually dieting is the short-term gratification. And living by your values is the long-term gratification, where you're able to say, I don't care what you think about what I look like, even though I deeply care. Still.
You deeply care. But yeah, I agree. There's like something like once you are and you just sort of exude it, people are like intimidated by that.
Like, no, they're not intimidated. But
other people who are stuck in diet culture, you know, like the judgy people, they're intimidated by that. Like, how can she just be so confident in her decisions?
She's
in
not
her
allowed.
Life? Yeah, like she needs to watch her health.
And then you call it health. Right. Then they call it health because it's like they need some sort of like moral high ground to be giving a shit about what you look like.
Right. Let's talk about what you were dealing with the submerging yourself in wedding photo
land.
Drama?
It's not drama. It's me scrolling. Like, that's the drama.
But you have a drama in your head. You have a drama in your head.
Oh, yeah. So I got my wedding photos back on Friday. And, okay, first round, I was like, these are amazing. I look so good. I look great. Then I started to like stare at them and pick them apart and look at my arm and look at my fat bulge and look at my chin. And I started to be like regretful. Like, why didn't I diet? Like, why didn't I just suck it up and like work out more? And like, what, like, I knew I was going to regret this, but like, I couldn't commit because I was like going back and forth with whether or not I actually cared about this or not. And like people heard me go back and forth about it on the podcast.
Yeah, it's like, documented.
It's documented. I wasn't sure what I wanted. And that reflected in my size on the day of the wedding. And I kept spending all this time. I'm like, do I look fat? Like, I kept trying to decide, like, do I look good? Do I like how I look? How could I have looked better? Why didn't I look better? Almost like wishing, can I go back and do it again so that I could definitely look better? And then I started then it led to a spiral of looking back at old photos. And
you were doing the exact same thing. It's wild. Yeah,
right. I'll go back to my hypothesis at the end about why this manifested.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But like, I just, when I was texting you, I'm like, frantically, like, do I look bad? Do I look good? Do I look bad? Do I look good? And just this constant obsessive back and forth, like, am I happy that I did this? Am I not happy that I did this? Weighing them. But again, there's nothing that can be done because it's over.
It passed.
But I'm staring at myself doing like a body checking of the photos. Like, is that a skinny picture? I can't tell. So I decide to like go back and look at old photos, and I fucking go back and I look at 2017, which is when I was like, I feel like I looked really good at points in that year, but and I'm just staring at them and I'm like, why don't I look like this? And I'm trying to envision what each photo would have looked like if my body looked like it did in 2017.
Why? I could imagine you doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I was like, and I was showing Avi, I'm like, can you just tell me like, how did I look? Like, he's like, you looked beautiful. And I show him a picture from 2017. I show him, and I just want to call out, I show him a photo from the Meme Gala, which is kind of like, which is an event that we had in 2017, which I don't know. Like, I've always sort of been trying to get back to that body. And I show him the photo, and he doesn't even like notice what my body looks like. He's like, ew, you look terrible. Your makeup is horrible. And I'm like, but my arm. And he's like, look, it was COVID. You're like, you're torturing yourself by doing
it. I was going to say that you're like allowing yourself to like sort of, you're your own enabler. Like you're almost, I could hear like the devil on, not devil, but you know what I mean? Like the torturer on your shoulder, just like feeding you.
Yeah.
Okay. Avi, tell me I look bad. Tell me I look good in this picture.
Or tell me I look good. In looking for the confirmation that I looked good, it just made me look for the confirmation that I looked bad. And I spoke to my therapist about that, and we'll get to that because she had a lot of things to say.
I'm excited.
But I also have things to say about the bridal industry, because I think part of this is that like the photos looked so beautiful at first, but then started to look out of sync for me because I was started to envision myself the way I see all wedding photos, which is like the bride always looks her thinnest. Like we're conditioned that like the bride has to look like so thin on that day. Otherwise it's like, it's not. And then I started thinking like, why do I care so much? I'm like, because I sort of saw that weight as like an end goal. Like my wedding weight was me. That's my true weight. After that, fuck it. As long as the photos document me at a certain weight, right?
Yeah.
It starts to feel like a referendum on yourself. Like this is my weight because I was that weight on my wedding day. Like this is the proof.
Yeah.
This is all I'll ever be. This is my worthiness and my value. Like, because that's kind of what you're taught about
wedding
diet. It's
like the peak. It's the peak of your life is what, like, that's what's marketed to us.
Right. You're not used to seeing like a less than perfectly slender bride for herself. For herself.
In magazines. You know, in the bridal industry marketing world.
Yes. In the marketing of the bridal industry. And I felt like I failed. Like I literally felt like, I failed at this test. And like the wedding looks beautiful. And then I'm sort of the like, I could have looked better, failure. But then it's like also like this is my Corona wedding. It's evident in all the pictures. Like it's not ever, you know, you didn't have Rusty there. Like, you know, there's
also, but that I don't think that's it. The thing is that you look good and you look like yourself. You look great. Right. You look happy. Like not who gives a shit if it's a Corona wedding or not.
Well, I just wonder like, maybe it's better that I didn't look stick thin, because if I did, that would have just reinforced my thinness is my value for me, like yet another year.
Right.
But the reason I couldn't do that was because I've been caught in this, do I want to be intuitive? But the wedding, the confusing messages of the wedding, like derailed me from that.
Yeah, no, I totally can feel you. Like, I remember I also said, like, if it was, I wouldn't have been able to do intuitive eating before my wedding. Like, I just wouldn't. But I think
my wedding, I wasn't sure, like, I planned it like a month and a half in advance. So, like, but then I didn't even start to try dieting till like August because I was like, I don't care about this. I just want to look like myself. But then I like started questioning that.
Yeah. So, where did you land? Are you still uneasy?
I'm uneasy, but I have turned a corner.
Okay.
I have turned a corner because I know that I had to go through this. I know that I had to go through this in order for it to like integrate into my feelings about, and I'm hoping that one day I'll look back and I'll be even happier that I looked that way.
Don't you see though, like how this is definitely harder than just like eating some fucking sashimi with no rice? Like, do you know what I mean?
No, it's so much better because I get to eat whatever I want when I go out to eat.
No, but it's harder. Like the mental toughness of restriction is easier than the mental toughness of like believing all of this.
I don't know if I feel like maybe, Maybe. I feel like I'm in the middle. Like I'm still in the middle where I'm not sure what's harder because I'm not fully, it's not fully integrated. You can't do this overnight. Like Jessica Nolan said, like when we interviewed her, like it took her 2 years and she's still growing. So
yeah.
So I spoke to my therapist about it.
Okay.
And she had a very interesting point to make about photos because she's very much of our, on our page about like values wise, I would say.
Okay.
And she was sort of like, photos are the opposite of mindfulness. Because she's like, when you think about your wedding, like, how do you feel? And I'm just like, utter bliss. Like, actually utter bliss. Like, I've never felt that way in my life. And I feel amazing when I think about just the moment of being there. She's like, do you see how the photos are completely warping your emotional experience of your wedding?
Yeah.
She like because you're looking back on them and you're like, this is now the wedding, not what my experience in my head was.
Right.
And she's just like, that's what diet culture does to you. It warps everything. Your experience is how you felt. That's what it was. That was your wedding. The other stuff that happened around it, the photos, the dress that still is in, you know, here, like all those things are the size of your dress, whatever. All those things are not the wedding. The wedding was what happened in my head and like the wedding to my husband.
And it's also interesting though, like when you're getting your photos, like when you're getting a, picking a photographer and you're like, this is where I'll spend. I don't mind to spend more money because this is the only thing that matters afterwards because it's a way to
That's all
prolong.
You have.
It's the way to prolong this like peak moment of your life.
Yeah.
Like, whereas if let's say it was just another party, which it isn't obviously, but let's say it was just like the meme gallery.
Well,
then you would be like, oh, whatever. Like, okay, so I got some pictures. I remember it was fun. That's, you know, that's all that matters.
I realized that I've never approached an event without restriction right before. Never. I will say just looking back at like, just thinking about how like the photos warp my memory of everything. Like they warp my memory of everything. That's like what is so messed up. Like, and I think about the meme gala as a party and like that was a very stressful experience and like I would not say overall a positive one to put on. And yet my memory of it is so good because of like a few photos. Like that is so messed up values wise. Like another thing my therapist said was like, she's like, on your deathbed, would you rather people see joy on your face or bones? Like,
oh, that's dark. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that is true and scary.
And like, I was not joyous at the Met Gala because of the stress of the situation, but I was thin, but still I think positively about that experience because of the photos. And that's a warp. That's a completely warped situation.
Sorry, I'm quiet because I'm thinking and it's so true. Like I never really think about photos to be like kind of even more destructive than I thought they were. But it's so true because I also was just like looking back at photos and then I also struggle with like looking back at my old pictures and like what did I facetune and like what did I not facetune and like what the fuck did I look like and why did I think it was okay to facetune these to the degree that I did. And you know what I mean?
You remember like, when we pre-facetuned both of us before our own weddings, photos of ourselves in our dresses to be like what we will look like when we lose weight.
Oh,
I found one of those this weekend.
I also facetuned my, it was more of a Photoshop. I facetuned my hair to be longer because I was going to have extensions.
Yes. See, that is like, that shows like these are
fucked.
Mess of experiences of life. Like, why was that like a massive part of preparation for the wedding?
Yeah, right. I agree. I remember I was so stressed out. I was like, am I before my wedding planning? And you're always like, didn't you plan everything? I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. I feel so stressed. And it's because I was like so intensely hard on myself to make my arm smaller, to lose weight.
Right.
I was thinking about this is what I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about how I looked. I was thinking about how the video is going to look of me, of my 360 body, or the photo of me like from in the chuppah. Like that's the perspective I was looking at, not from the perspective of Rusty looking at me, not from the perspective of people even. It was me looking back at the video, seeing like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah, which is kind of how
what you're doing.
am doing, which is like why you were valid in believing that. Because again, when you're in the transition period, you don't have a clear, you're not clear yet on like what you should think. But like the other thing is like, even when I look at the photos, like the first thing it goes to, my mind goes to is like my arm, do I look fat? And then I take in the whole picture. But like,
right.
Why am I not taking in what the whole picture is showing rather than, which is what I took in the first time I looked at them. But then after I started like perfectionisting myself, like on something that can't even be changed. It happened.
You know,
what am I
going
to make everyone go back to do it right. again?
Let's do it again, guys.
Well, it's funny because just be smaller.
When you were like texting me, I was like, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. So I went back and I looked at your pictures and I was like trying to get in your head. You know what I mean? I was like, she looks so good here. Like, what could she want more of? And I was just like,
slimness in the waist,
trying to get
arms.
In your brain. And it was just such an interesting experience because it was also like, I was both in it and out of it at the same time. And it's like so true. Like for me to get into your brain, just to how intensely like hard we're being on ourselves or you're being on yourself is just like really far from reality. You know what I mean?
Well, so funny to get into your brain. When I was looking through the pictures and I was like sending them to various people, I was like, oh, like I was like, I don't want to send this to her. She's going to think her hair looks bad. She's going to like, I literally,
my hair was so curly. Yeah, whatever.
Honestly, my mom's hair looked bad. Like, I honestly think everyone just looked really sweaty. Like, everyone, I think, personally,
they were
didn't
sweaty,
think
but it was okay. It was fine.
Great. Also, I think everyone was probably a little heavier than they normally are. Like, I think, honestly, everyone didn't feel like they looked to their best. But, like, then I'm like, who cares? That just proves that it doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We had fun. I want to hear about what your theory is.
Oh, I think, okay, Friday night on Rosh Hashanah, RBG dies.
Right.
I think that like, I don't know, at least for me, and like you said you were like feeling bleak about it too. I feel like there was sort of like a loss of hope in a way from a person who represents like what women can be and what like we could all sort of be. And like the difference we could all make. And I think that like everything in society and diet culture especially is meant to like derail us from that, those achievements and like the things that matter. Like no one's like, oh, RBG, she was so skinny. Like even though she was, no, like you don't hear that. Like no one's saying that.
No one.
Like not one person. Like, and I think that she sort of, that is a devastating loss, like on an emotional level. And like, I think that probably because again, first time I saw the photos before she died, or I knew she died, happy, happy, happy. It was the next day that I started being like, I don't know. And I almost feel like it was just like a distraction because it's like, I can't think about this like really big thing and the implications and like what it really means to me. So let me just focus on like this stupid thing that I'm used to controlling and like kind of a regression.
You're saying that it was the photos were a distraction from art, feeling your like
from
your
feeling
grief
about something
over
that
RBG.
Matters.
Yeah,
it's
I
like
mean,
when
the,
you think
minute,
about okay, when,
yeah,
because she represents like kind of a higher value, like the things that I could be thinking about when I'm not thinking about my weight.
Yeah,
it's the higher value versus the lower value, and like I feel like I had to like regress to just be like, you know what, like let's just think about how skinny I could be.
I mean, I think that there is definitely truth in that because when I saw the news, I gasped. Like,
same.
I actively gasped. I was like, and I was just like, no. Like, I was so upset. And then I was just like, my immediate thought was like, she's probably so pissed she died. Like, that was my first reaction. Rusty's like, I'm upset for her family. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm upset for her family. Understood. But he's seeing it from like a healthcare, like he sees people die all the time. And he's like, he sees always like the family. But I'm like, I'm so fucking upset for like, she's probably so upset for her legacy. Like she worked so fucking hard to get here. And then she just like, she was
wanted to
so
make it
pissed.
Like, she's probably so, she, I mean, I don't, she, her soul, whatever.
She said that though. She said she wanted to, she didn't want to let go until
she's not
the
even in
was replaced.
She's not even in the ground and they're like ready to replace her. But
I know. But all of that
was so strong and held on. She held on and she had like 45 days. 40, like that, even if she made 40 days, like.
That's what I felt. Like, I felt like so, like, upset on her behalf, like on her. Like, I almost went into her body, and like, as she died, she was probably like, no,
I know,
just hold on for a little bit longer. Like,
I know
that's what I really thought. That I was like, I'm sad on behalf of the country. And Rusty's like, well, what about the family? I'm like, well, of course, the family, but she means more than she means more than just like her, like, self as a person. Like, her job means a lot, and like, that means a lot for everyone. It means a lot for women. It means, like, for the election. It's just there's so much, and it was like frustrating and so sad. Like,
it was such a devastating blow. Like, I'm numb to it. I'm still numb to it. Like, anytime like someone wants to talk to me about it, I'm like, I really can't talk. Like, I'm too upset. Like, I'm fully dissociated.
Yeah, like, I have nothing.
Like, I'm numb at this point. Like, the Breonna Taylor stuff, I'm numb. And now we're back at the beginning.
I feel numb to that too. Like, I was just like, no shit. That was going to happen. Like, I have very, 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 very low, like, belief in anything that's going on now. So it's like,
I have a really long article to send you. you want to make that belief even less.
I think what you're saying is so true, because just these last few days, I've been like struggling, like even being on my phone or my computer. I've been like walking away from my computer all the time, like doing something, like going to the bathroom. Like, I've been making myself pee more because it's like a break. Like, I swear to you, I'm not like, I'm staring at my computer, but I'm not reading the words. I just feel very like you're saying, disassociated, like numb from
despair,
all of it.
Like I don't want to post.
Yeah. It was just like a lot. Like,
there's nothing to say. It's this feeling of like, I got you. There's nothing to say though. Like, I feel you, but I have nothing to even, like, it's a shared, like, it's the type of thing that can only be shared via energy. And like, there's no words at this point. Like,
there's no
words. There need to be new words invented for what's going on. Like, there, how many times can you use the words that exist in the English language? Like, we've already covered them.
Like, when I read the shit about like this, the Handmaid's Tale woman, I'm like, like, I just wanted just to start crying. I was like, why does this have to be a thing? And it's just, reading about the potential replacements and how they're so far from like qualified.
Yeah. Like,
or the fact that they are qualified scares, you know what I mean? Like, it's either or. Well, like, that's what scares me. So it's just this fear. And that's
the top two contenders have only been on the bench for like 2 years. Like, since during the Trump administration. So they're not like, you know, seasoned judges. Not that, I don't know. I don't know if I want to judge based on that, but really more importantly than their qualifications is that they shouldn't be confirming anybody. And most Americans don't want someone to be confirmed, and they're rushing it through. And it's hypocritical given what happened in 2016. And
that's the thing, like, seeing the hypocrisy is like also for me, like, no shit. Like, obviously they're going to do that, right? And the fact that it doesn't matter to me, that's an ideal world. And like, we're living in the reality of like the scary world. So like, to me, it's like no shit and it's fucked up. And I don't know what's going to happen, what we could do to stop it. And Vote.
I personally think that engagement by people who are not normally engaged begets other engagement, because once you see like your friend is really into it, you're like, oh, like, maybe I should care too.
It's okay to care. Yeah.
Right. It's not losery to care. You're not like some nerd West Wing watcher like me.
I've been watching it.
It's so good, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. What's his name? Josh predicted the pandemic in 1999. That's when it was written. Yeah. I mean, also for our generation, like, we start our generation when we were like 20, it was cool to not give a shit about anything. Like, we were really the DGAF gen.
and now we're not.
Now it's really important for us to share that it's okay to care. And, you know, I struggle with that too, like, on my social media. Like, I don't I don't like putting out too much stuff. You know what I mean? I'd like to hide behind some protection of, and it's really haphazard. It does. I pick and choose, and I realize it's not, I shouldn't do that. And so I'm going to try to work harder on like showing that it's okay to care.
Cause you can inspire people that it's okay to care. Like, oh, I identify with Aileen and that like, I didn't normally care about this and now she cares. So yeah. Like, oh, maybe it's like really important that I care.
I just feel more comfortable to talk about it with you, like on a podcast than I do putting it like, oh my, to me, I feel like a grandma, like it's an email blast, like putting on like on my story. You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes I'm like, oh, do I need to also share the voter registration deadlines? Like everyone shared that. Like, you know, sometimes I'm like, do I need to share this too? But I think it's just sharing something that like means something to you. And like, and that's all that matters. And like, honestly, who cares what anyone thinks? When I get unfollows or people are like, I don't like your opinion, I'm like, great. This ain't an airport. You don't have to announce your departure. Bye. I don't care. Leave so that more like-minded people can follow me. And great.
So that's our episode today, folks. didn't expect to have this in-depth of a conversation, but I feel like we were just all kind of feeling it this week. And yeah, everybody, we have just a few days till the election. Please go vote. Go check if you're registered. I do have to say it feels very good to know that you are registered to vote. Like, remember when I was freaking out and texting you like, how do I know if I'm registered? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, I keep triple checking.
Same, I'm about to check again.
I check like kind of obsessively.
And everyone should check obsessively because you could get knocked out of the voter rolls. Don't trust the system.
No.
You could get knocked out of the voter rolls. You like screenshot that shit. Pretend it is a text from an ex or something and you're sending it to everybody.
And you're sending it, to your therapist to review. guys. And email us, dst@betches.com with your Dear DSTs for Thursday's episodes, your non-scale wins, who do you want to have on this podcast? Just general praise if you want also is accepted. If you want to put that praise into our reviews, we'd even appreciate that even more. So please go rate, review, and subscribe on Diet Starts Tomorrow podcast on iTunes. And go follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow, at Sammy, at Aileen. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbein.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Betches.